go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Bolin.
Hey, Ben. How are you doing today?
I'm doing swell, man. How are you doing?
Not bad. Not bad. You know, I've been watching a lot of online videos recently. I do that a lot anyways, but it seems like once you start watching something on, let's say, YouTube, you're watching drag race videos.
Right.
It kind of progresses to the next thing, and, like, suddenly you're somewhere that you didn't even intend to be. I know a lot of people experience this, right? Like, like the recommended videos start leading you to different things, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So I started watching, drag racing, you know, Top Fuel drag racers, whatever, just watching launch speeds and things like that. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, you know, like, you know, three or four videos down the line, I'm watching a motorcycle that's going, 300 miles an hour. And I'm thinking, how is this motorcycle going this fast? Well, it turns out it's running on a straight, flat section of pavement called the Texas Mile. And this is an incredible race.
Yes.
Happens twice a year.
This happens twice a year. It's been happening since October of 2003. And the Texas Mile poses an interesting question, which is essentially, how fast could you go on a straight mile section if you didn't have to worry about traffic or jail time or tickets?
Yeah, sure. And, you know, I thought when I saw this, I thought this guy was on a road somewhere in Texas.
Yeah.
I thought he was just like on some desolate highway, and it was just something they call the Texas Mile, and it's, you know, somewhere in this area, and they, you know, the locals talk about it.
Right. Yeah.
Not the case. This is this is run on what they call the Chase Field Industrial Park, which is actually an airport runway. Perfect, right?
Yeah, out there in Beeville, Texas.
Yeah, exactly. There's some other races that are run around the United States that are on airport runways. There's one in Cleveland that's fantastic. But this one is a flat – it's almost like a drag strip, really, I guess, in that but it's a mile long.
So it's about four times longer than your average drag strip.
Yeah, exactly, or even longer than that, because there's a one-mile run where you can do – it's a standing mile, so you start at a starting line, dead stop, you've got about a half-mile shutdown area, Ben, because the speeds that people get up to in a mile, incredible. Now, I mean, they do get up to, you know, the professional – you know, the professionals, when they drag on the quarter mile, they drag at, 280, 300 miles an hour or whatever. This is like – these are like street cars, modified street cars, some exhibition vehicles, motorcycles, all different classes. They've got a lot of different classifications, but in a mile – they get going incredibly fast. I mean, these are, again, production vehicles that are supposed to top out around, let's say, some of them like 130, 140,
right,
150, whatever.
Right.
They're topping 200 miles an hour.
Because they have had, is tuning even the word? They've been kind of, some of them have been kind of Frankenstein.
Well, you know, you see a lot of the big name tuners out there.
Yeah.
You'll see Hennessy, and you'll see some of the other ones that, you know, they regularly show up. But you're going to see just a lot of what I'll call ordinary people, which is, you know, fantastic. Guys that do it in their garage, you know, they don't have a huge budget from some manufacturer. They don't have – a lot of them don't even have any sponsors.
Yeah.
A lot of them just do it because they want to go fast, and they travel to this place. You know what? We didn't tell them where. It's Beeville, Texas.
Oh, no, we said it.
Oh, did we? Beeville.
So.
No, I mentioned the industrial park, but not the town. It's in Beeville, Texas. It's twice a year.
Yeah,
so they run this thing in what, late March?
And late October.
Late October, okay. So we've had one that was run recently in 2012.
And the next one is coming up very soon, October 26th through 28th.
Yeah, don't miss it. It's something that, I don't know, it seems like if you're within driving distance of this place or even flying, if you want to fly and rent a car and head out there, but don't take the rental car on the Texas Mile.
Don't race the rental car. I'm sure that's somewhere in your contract.
I bet it is, but, you know, honestly, you would be terribly embarrassed if you ran
your
rental car.
You'll just be sad.
Because when you look at the cars that come out for this thing, now you're talking about, like, not every case, but you're looking at a lot of, like, supercars, really.
Yeah,
I mean,
road
a lot of
monsters.
A lot of exotics and things like that. But let's just take, for instance, this I'm going to read one of the records here from that was recorded in March of this year. So March 23rd through 25th of 2012.
Okay.
The world's fastest standing mile Camaro. 253.1 miles per hour.
Wow.
Now that's awful darn fast, but you got to remember this guy's got this thing tuned up. I mean, he's got something like 2,500 horsepower in his Camaro in order to get to 253 miles an hour, which makes sense because we heard that in the Bugatti podcast. Remember that, you know, it only takes, I forget what it was. It was like 250 or 300 horsepower to get to 100.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then or 150, and then
all the rest.
All the rest is to get up to 250. So, this 2,500 horsepower Camaro didn't really shock me in that it has that much. It's just that, can you imagine what that feels like? Because that's constantly pulling the entire mile. It's not like a quarter mile might feel like a long time to some people, but imagine, you know, multiplying that by
entire mile,
multiply that by four, and then imagine what a rush that is to be able to do that.
Right, because let's stick with the drag comparison, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have about a fourth mile or so, and then you look at the speed that a dragster approaches that mile on, then that's maybe what? Like, that's less than 15 seconds. That's like 11 seconds,
yeah, you know,
12 seconds.
I've got just a simple example of this that now we mentioned the motorcycle that was going real fast. The guy that was driving this motorcycle, and this is an older YouTube video, so I'm sure it's faster at this point because their records are broken all the time at the Texas Mile.
Yeah, and we should point out that motorcycle number is not hyperbole.
No. This is for real. Okay, Bill Warner. Look up the name Bill Warner, Texas Mile record, and you'll see the video that I'm talking about. But this is 2010, so it'll go back a ways. But now, just imagine what he can do in these last two or three years.
Mm-hmm.
The run that I'm talking about was a speed record at the time that was 278.6 on a motorcycle. He did that. Now he's traveling a mile from a standing start in about 24 seconds, Ben. And you can't gauge it by speed and time. It doesn't work there because there's the ramp up time.
Right.
A lot of these cars. So, anyways, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself.
No worries, I got you.
About 24 seconds is what it takes from start to finish. So, you know, what you see is you see him just literally just disappear into the horizon, and then you see on this large board his speed that's posted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they have a huge board that posts speed, and the crowd just erupts because, you know, that's everybody's there watching to see how fast they go. And it's incredible. The same guy went 311 miles an hour later that year, which was, I think he was the first motorcycle rider to go over 300 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
on this type. I'm not sure what conditions it met. I'm sure there might have been others on the salt flats or something. But
sure.
It's said he was the first motorcycle driver to exceed 300 miles per hour. So this guy is out for speed no matter what. He's always there, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that in the last 2 years he's gone even faster than the 278.
Now that that excess of 300, which year was that?
That was I believe that was the same year in 2010.
2010.
I think so, and it was on a different track, a different course. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it was longer than the mile, so he had more time to build up speed, obviously.
Yeah, I heard kicked around for that was 320.
Wow. Okay. So yeah,
speeds are
getting up there. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine that. I mean, I've seen other videos. You know, when we talked about watching videos, there's a camera that's pointing from the back of his seat. You know, back rearward towards the starting line.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben, you'll see the quarter mile, the half mile marks. They're big markers on the side. They're big,
yeah,
almost like billboard size. Because when you're traveling that fast, you don't have a lot of time to look at them. So they kind of unconsciously know that they're going past them. When you see these markers go past at that speed, when you're getting into like the half mile, you're at the half mile, I don't know at how many seconds. It's not 12. It's a little bit more, I think.
Yeah, it'd be a little bit more.
Because it progressively gets faster,
right,
and faster. But you just can't even comprehend how quickly they get to the half mile, three-quarter mile, and then the mile mark, and when they're shutting down. It's like that could not have been a mile.
Mm-hmm.
It's that quick. And the cars are running nearly as fast as the motorcycles. They're not quite there yet, but I don't think they will because, you know, we talked about
the power and the weight.
Exactly, yeah, and aerodynamics,
mm-hmm,
whatever. So one thing I need to mention when we talked about the start is,
yes,
that when you see the start of these things, now remember, these cars, a lot of them are in like the 2,000 horsepower range, 1,500 horsepower range.
Mm-hmm.
When you start out and you've got a full mile to run, the start isn't quite as critical as it is on a quarter mile start. So you're going to see some slower starts from people, but the reason is it doesn't do any good if you just spin your tires at the starting line.
Yeah.
I mean, because your time starts, as soon as you roll over that line and the system starts to time you, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So you've only got a certain amount of time to get to the, well, not time, but you've got a certain, goal, and the goal is to get to that mile mark. And if you burn your tires at the beginning, that's it. You're done.
Yeah,
you might as well just turn around and come back.
I got to make a slight correction here.
Sure.
For all the listeners who are probably typing the email now, you guys, too late. We caught it. I messed up. The record for the motorcycles was not 328. I got my numbers messed up. I was looking at one of the records from 2010 for an exhibition vehicle, a Jet Dragster.
Oh, yeah.
That went 324 miles per hour.
You know, actually, I'm glad you mentioned it, Ben, because the exhibition vehicles are something that they run there. They run street-legal cars. They run non-street-legal cars, which are like race cars.
Right.
They run, exhibition vehicles, which could be anything like a jet-powered truck or, a bar stool.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. You know, whatever they want to bring out.
Or that jet fuel John Deere lawnmower you and I have been working on.
That's right, in our jet propulsion lab.
We should probably get a windshield at this point.
maybe. So, and then motorcycle classifications get even more broken down.
These classifications, guys, are very specific.
Yeah. And you have to, go online. If you're thinking about entering this, take a look at, some of the classifications, and you'll be asked a lot of very specific questions about entering and what your vehicle is and, where it was manufactured and what speeds you expect to achieve. That's one of the fun things about this is that, you'll see some people walking around there with these, 200 mile per hour club shirts on.
Right.
And, I thought, okay, well, you can go to this event, and I'm going to get one of those shirts, right? I'm just going to get one because it's cool to have, right? They look really neat. It says 200-plus mile-per-hour club of Texas. And it turns out, Ben, you have to have a speed slip in your hand to purchase that vehicle. To purchase that shirt. You have to own or be part of the team that, that fronted that vehicle on the mile and actually ran that, 200-plus.
Oh, yes, and let's take a second. I know I'm all over the place now. Let's take a second to explain the speed slip thing. This is very important.
Yeah.
So, okay, you're in your – let's say you're in your Cadillac Eldorado.
Okay.
Or whatever. And you are racing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
– against time.
Against time. Time is your only competition.
Or for time. How about that?
For time is a little bit better. And a little more philosophical. And you're at your standing mile. Okay, so you take it, and you do pretty well, and you've got your half-mile shut down. At the end of it, one of the people staffing this is going to hand you what they will call your speed slip.
Mm-hmm.
And this speed slip is considered the proof, the receipt, if you will, of what your performance was.
Yeah, what you're able to do.
So the speed slip we're talking about becomes very important for, number one, bragging rights.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, this will let you get the shirt if necessary. This also functions as your official record.
You know what, Ben? We talk about this kind of – it sounds kind of funny. And people may think like, I'm doing all this for a shirt. I mean, what's the point of that?
But it's way more than that.
It's kind of like, of course you said bragging rights, it's kind of just bring what you work on all the time and kind of show off a bit, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. How fast can I make this, this Chevy Vega run, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, or the Cadillac that you mentioned. I mean, and honestly, people bring everything. So, there may be a Cadillac Eldorado out there. But you want to show that you're the best in your class because you're trying to, you narrow down your classification to the point where you're competing against vehicles that are similar.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to see how you stack up against vehicles
right.
in your class. You get a chance to set a high speed record in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that there are plaques and official documentation that say that you've set an official high speed record.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a Bonneville thing, but it's very similar. It's almost exactly the same. Different sanctioning body that measures this. We mentioned the 200 mile per hour club. That's actually kind of a big deal. That's a big deal. I mean,
it's a big deal. It's outside of Texas too.
This is an exclusive club.
Right.
And honestly, to be able to get the shirt, you have to actually prove that you were the one who actually did it or you were part of the team that mm-hmm. helped to get there. So, it seems silly, but that's a cool thing to have. That's really, it's exclusive.
I don't think it seems silly at all. I love awards and recognition and that sort of stuff. You know what I mean?
A pat on the back, right?
Yeah.
Well, no, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, showing that, you know, you're one of the big boys there, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that, you know, they say that go there just to have a good time, because it's really – it's a three-day festival of speed is what it is.
Right.
It's for motorsports enthusiasts, you know, performance enthusiasts, tuners, you know, et cetera. But a lot of these people are just guys that work on a car in the garage, guys and girls that work on cars mm-hmm. or motorcycles. In the garage, could be a variety of vehicles. Anything that you've got, you can bring it out, as long as it's not a boat, I guess.
Racing fans also
four wheels.
Yeah, racing fans also enjoy this because this is sort of a no, this is an awkward comparison, Scott. This is sort of a mixtape or a compilation of racing things. I know, man.
Oh,
my
gosh.
Nobody even uses tapes anymore.
Some of our listeners are going to say, what the heck is a mixtape?
I know.
What's a tape?
It's a kind of adhesive tape. No, so what my point being is that this is one of the opportunities, one of the biannual opportunities to see a multitude of different vehicles.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't really put a price on that. One thing that I want to make a point of here is that a lot of these vehicles and competitors are, as you say, returning mm-hmm. every year or every race even, and they have some amazing stories in the background.
Exactly. Yeah, there's some people like – I mean, I read a story about a guy that drives his – Porsche down from Canada, I think it was,
uh-huh.
and runs every year. And he brings his kids with him, and he has for years and years
since
the beginning. And he's got something like on this car that he runs, and it's an incredible Porsche. But I mean, he's got like 600,000 miles on the car.
Yes,
because he drives to all these different motorsports events all over all over the United States. I'm guessing in Canada as well.
Uh-huh.
But it's kind of a family thing. He packs up everything into the car and brings it down. You'll find people that you know try to bring. You know, the exotic that they just bought and want to see how fast it'll go, mm-hmm. which I'll be honest with you, if you buy an exotic and you bring it straight there, you're going to be disappointed in the performance compared to some of the people that have really tampered
Definitely.
With it, because a lot of these have so exceeded the horsepower that they've programmed it in such so that you know, mm-hmm. there's no top speed limit.
Right.
There's no cutoff. So you're going to be upset, you know, with your new Ferrari that only goes 180 when there's somebody else doing 240.
Right.
Or similar, you know.
And it's not going to be something that you can fix that morning.
No. And, you know, the thing is, like, you got to build the car to last also, because it's not a quarter-mile run. It's not something that you can, you know. This is a punishing mile.
Mm-hmm.
And one mm-hmm. thing that was pointed out in some, you know, I've read some of these articles. One thing is that they pointed out that the cars rarely break down. You know, you may see somebody burn a clutch out. You may see somebody, you know, blow a tire.
Right.
You may see, in fact, I think recently there was a pretty spectacular wreck with a Lamborghini. And everybody's okay. Mm-hmm. But the driver came back for another round, you know, et cetera. It was like an end-over-end type wreck at the end of the mile, which was really spectacular, but, you know, scary.
Yeah.
Everything was okay. The guy got, like, a hurt thumb or something like that. So safety is, you know, a big part of this. But, you know, the cars rarely break down. They said that the people are extremely nice that attend this thing. You know, they're all friendly and helpful with each other. You know, there's without exception, they're all nice. There's good food there. They've got some kind of food truck that has.
Isn't that weird that they rave about the food trucks?
You know, there's a food truck there that everybody's talking about. You know, I'm going to just mention it here, should I?
Yeah, mention it.
It's
the taco place.
The Fusion Taco Truck that everybody talks about in their articles, so it must be spectacular.
Yeah.
But they say that it's literally the best food they've ever had. And I don't know if this, you know.
I want
to
see it race.
Take it at face value, I guess. Maybe best food I've ever had. At a motorsports festival in Texas. I don't know. Maybe it's just really good. Who knows?
You're really positive today, man. Everybody's getting awards.
Oh, thanks.
This is cool.
But there's a lot going on around this thing. You can camp on the grounds mm-hmm. if you wanted to, if you had an RV or a tent or whatever. You can camp.
Yeah.
You can stay at a hotel nearby. But it's 3 days. So, you know, prepare to spend all day long out at the track and be amazed.
I got to tell just two real quick versions of some of the individual stories here.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So there's a GMC Sierra.
Wait.
And I'm pulling this off. Yeah, that races.
A Sierra.
Uh-huh. And I'm pulling this off from some articles we're looking at. So here we go. Standing among spectators, we overheard someone say, "Watch that white pickup. It's a buddy of mine. He's going to do almost 200 miles per hour."
Wait. A Sierra is like driving a brick wall down the road.
Right.
It's very flat. A big truck, right?
Right. So they said, fat chance, we thought. But that's when they found out that Sergio Flaco Gonzalez 1999 GMC Sierra has a turbocharged, nitrous-injected 427 cubic inch V8. And he, according to the driver, he says it does 1,150 horsepower. The record he sets, Scott, 192.9 miles per hour.
Whoa.
In a Sierra, dude.
Holy cow. That, I got to tell you, that's got to be frightening when you get to the end of the mile and you're going that fast in a large truck like that.
It's a brick wall. And a lot of these cars, you know, they and their owners have such compelling stories. Like there's another guy, Mac McClanahan. He's got a 1972 Cadillac, and he entered it.
There's a Cadillac you mentioned. Yeah.
And he entered it. I was thinking of you when I read this. He entered it as an art car.
Okay. So that an exhibition car.
Right. And so it's got like
Wait. So exhibition cars are further broken down into other categories, and the art car is one of these?
Art car is one they entered.
Oh my gosh.
got 600 horsepower, 502 cubic inch V8.
It's pretty strong.
Pretty strong, and it's got like 8 exhaust pipes sticking out of it and stuff. So here's the backstory that I thought would be really interesting for our listeners. Allegedly, Mac got this car from a body shop where it had been left behind by an owner who was convicted of murder.
Oh.
And sentenced to life in the big house.
Oh, boy.
So he ran this vehicle at the Salt Flats before he took it to Texas.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And last I heard, when this article comes from about 2010, there's a demolition derby up next for this. His record in the El Dorado, 137.3 miles per hour.
Wow, that's not bad.
El Dorado.
That's not bad. Not bad at all.
I never thought.
For 72 El Dorado, that's a pretty respectable speed. I mean, that's.
I don't have the mileage on it, but
that's a lot
crazy.
Of horsepower. And so, really, this thing, it must be kind of beat up if it's going to be going to a demolition derby next.
I think it's earned its stripes, you know.
I think so too, yeah.
So this is neat because this means that if you have a car at your house that's your project car or something you're working on, you don't have to have a Veyron race.
In fact, you know what? I got a couple of real quick things here and then we're done. But
okay.
There's such a variety of records that are set here. Now we've mentioned, you know, Ben said that there's an art car segment in the exhibition vehicles. So, you know, that's how far down you can go into these categories, I guess. And you could be the fastest, world's fastest art car.
And you, my friend, have a soft spot for art cars.
So, I kind of do, yeah, for some types of them.
Some of them
are ridiculous, but yeah, I am. I really am. But we'll go through some of these real quickly, these records that were set in March of this year. Now, these are the most current records that you know, they've compiled on their site. And there's a Texas Mile official website.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at all these different records, but here's the most recent from March. There's a 2006 Ford GT that's been modified. So that's a street car that's modified. The record, it's actually the official Texas Mile speed record to date.
Okay.
257.7 miles per hour. Now that's lightning fast. That's really fast. That's very fast for a car that is typically found on highways, road.
Yeah.
It's a road car, and they were not intended to go that fast. I can tell you that. He's done a lot of work to this. This driver, his name is Sean Kennedy, of Katy, Texas. So it's a Texas original, but it's a modified. It's heavily modified, of course. Now I'll just quickly go through some of these others. But 257.7 is the official track record at this point. For modified streetcar.
Wow, that's pretty close to the record for the fastest car.
It is very close. Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's real close. So then I'm sure the exhibition jet vehicles are a little faster, right? Okay, so then these others that they mention here, there's the world's fastest. It's funny how they break these down. You'll see how specific they get. Okay, the world's fastest standing mile Camaro. Okay, so you get all that? 253.1. We mentioned that before. And this is a car that comes back often, and there's a lot of stories out there, a lot of videos out there about this guy, driver Josh Ledford, and the owner is – he's not the owner, I don't believe. Anyways, it's owned by Kelly Buys.
Mm-hmm.
So they come often, and they always best themselves a little bit. So, you know, there's always something to watch from these guys. But then we get into some of the more specific ones, and that was pretty specific. But the fastest Nissan GTR in a standing mile event, which is 233.1, also fast.
Wow.
Okay, here's one that sounds a little bit lower, 155. So 155 miles per hour. Doesn't sound all that fast, but it's an all-electric powered Fiero.
Huh.
So that's unusual.
Okay.
It's pretty unusual.
So there are also classifications then, not just for conventional.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like however you want to break these things down, because the last one I'll read here, and this isn't, I got one more. 96 miles per hour is the speed that a custom-built motorcycle that uses biodiesel made from algae. So do you see what I mean? Like, it's not just – it's biodiesel made from algae, 96 miles per hour in a motorcycle.
Is that a legit category?
That's a record. It's a record, because apparently no one has ever done that before. And, you know, someone else will try to go out and go 97 next time.
I'm not laughing because I think it's a bad idea. I'm laughing because it seems so specific that it is a algae-based biofuel category.
That's right. We have the world's best podcast that's being created here in Atlanta at on the 15th floor in this room.
On Thursdays.
That's right.
So the best fast food,
yeah,
the best
right.
food
so
truck.
It's however you'd like to break it down. But the last one is 200.6 miles per hour, which is also, that's very fast. 200
by
mile
any
per hour
measure,
club.
That's fast.
That is the first new Dodge Challenger to break 200 miles per hour anywhere.
Oh,
so that's the first time that it's gone that fast anywhere. It doesn't matter where it is. That's the fastest a new Dodge Challenger has gone ever.
I'm really glad you didn't end on the algae.
Yeah.
On the algae bike.
I know. But you know what? I mean, kudos to them for going out and doing that kind of
thing.
That's amazing.
Right?
I mean they're showing up and doing it. They broke a speed record. How cool is that?
And I want to hear from any of our listeners who have made it to the Texas Mile.
Yeah, I don't own any speed records.
It's October 26th through 28th of this year. We'd love it if somebody could make it out there. Don't feel obligated on our behalf. We're just saying if you're in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Late October, was it 26th, 28th?
Mm-hmm.
3 days, Texas, why not?
Yeah, why not? Why not? Live a little, right?
Yeah. Man, can you imagine the rush? How much fun that would be?
I think it would be really fun even just to watch it.
I would
rather be driving, but
I would love to just be in my standard production Honda doing that. I don't know if it would stand up for the full mile at full speed, but I mean, why not? No, you know what? It probably would, because it's got limiters in place to do stuff like that. So it would
we'll
be impressive.
We'll take those off. Dude, we have to take those off.
Yeah, it wouldn't be impressive, but it would do it.
So we're going to I think I've just tricked Scott into agreeing to let us try to modify his car. So we're going to go talk to our boss and see if we can get that in the budget. And while you're thinking over how you're going to take a trip to Texas in the next few months, we'll read you a little listener mail.
Why not?
So here is something from our friend and listener, Simon, on the internet. I'm reading these because Simon gave us some cool nicknames. Mm-hmm. All right, so he says, some of my top 10 dream cars. I'm just going to read them. Stop me if one weirds you out. 77 Pontiac Firebird. Ferrari 308 GTE. He has Magnum PI by that. Mm-hmm. Aston Martin DB5, of course. Aston Martin V8 Vantage, the DeLorean DMC-12, 73 Ford Falcon, Mad Max.
Hmm.
Mad Max, right.
Okay.
And the 66 Shelby Mustang GT350.
All right.
Ford Mustang Mach 1, 68 Chevy Camaro.
Yes. Sorry, I'm stuck on Mach 1.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
It is a really cool one. The Triumph TR6, which is interesting because he said he found one fully restored under a dust sheet in a hall at a shipyard. And he said he's been addicted to it ever since.
Oh, that'd
he
be
really
a cool,
wanted one.
That'd be a cool scene to find one, wouldn't it?
What a cool,
like,
yeah.
Like down at the foggy dock area.
Uh-huh, yeah.
In some nondescript building.
Yes. And then here are the nicknames that he wrote to us. He gave us two sets.
Oh, we're back to this.
Scott Ram Air Benjamin. Ben, okay. The Jet Bolin.
Oh, I like that one.
I feel like that one's way cool.
I like that.
No offense, it is kind of cooler.
The Jet.
The Jet. How about this one? Scott Redline Benjamin.
Not bad.
Not bad?
Not bad.
On that one, I got Ben Monty Bolin.
That could actually be your real middle name. That's
Oh, man, maybe.
That's cool. I like the Jet, though. I think the Jet may be one of the better ones I've heard recently.
Yeah, it's like the Edge in U2.
Yeah.
You're Bono.
Not bad.
Dude. Anyway. Okay,
not bad. Well, oh, and that first one, that's close. My first car was a 78 Trans Am.
So that's
very,
right, isn't
very
it?
Close. Same exact body.
Yeah, and we love hearing about people's dream cars. We love hearing if there's a specific car or specific race you would like us to cover in the future. So give us a shout-out on Twitter. Give us a line on our Facebook page.
Send us some photos if you go to the Texas Mile.
Yes, oh, please do. And the best place for you to send those photos, of course, is either on our Facebook page or a direct email to
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.